Good afternoon. So I'm going to speak about epigraphical encoding from the stone to digital edition. I will show you very, very quickly three pictures of inscriptions so everybody will know what epigraphy is. But I will not explain more about it because I would like to speak more about the digital problems. So I will just show you the first one. So in the epigraphy is a study of inscriptions or epigraphs engraved into stone or other durable materials or cast in metal, the science of classifying them as to cultural context and date, elucidating them and accessing what conclusions can be deduced from them. A person studying this is called an epigrapher. This is a definition of Wikipedia. It's quite correct. And just show you three pictures. This is a puzzle and broken stones. It's just to show you the archaeological material. This is about a personality, Agrippina, the mother of the Emperor Caligula. And this is a very simple inscription on a cap, and it's written sweet to drink. Well, these are just few examples to explain what is material. So this was a graffiti on this is a graffiti from Pompeii to show how kind people could be also at that time. So there have been hundreds of thousands of inscriptions collected up to now. The Greek and Roman civilizations had an important part of their communication system based on inscriptions. Epigraphers are in the habit of publishing and collecting them in huge corpora, such as Inscriptionem Latinarum or Inscriptiones Graecae, with the hope of completeness to record all the inscriptions known up to the present. The archaeological material is very diverse. Bronze, marble, glass, bones, typologies of inscriptions have been created to organize them, public, private, funerary, steel, graffitis, decree, contracts. These are a few examples taken from, the picture were taken from Flickr. A digital edition of this text does not have to include only epigraphical features, but also historical features, because these are documents to study history. This what I'm focusing on in these presentations. The starting point of my work was an XML encoding of a famous inscription called Res Gestae Divi Augusti. It's a huge inscription of Augustus. It's a political testament from the first century after Christ. I work on the editions from Mommsen to John Shade. The goal is to encode these historical features and to create a meta-source, as Jean-Philippe Genet, the medievist, called it, a set of structured information modeled, passed to the computer and processed by it. Historical research and epigraphy, as they are traditionally carried out. This is a definition of meta-source by Jean-Philippe Genet. Historical research and epigraphy, as they are traditionally carried out, do not need to be integrated into computer. Information technology can also be perceived as a mere instrument for searching and for collecting information quickly. Rather, I think that a researcher leaves traces of her way of thinking when the design and when there is a conception of an information system, and after also when the information system is used. In fact, the researcher should give shape to the information that is stored in an information system. She must also manipulate the computer with the same rigor and that he is used to when handling the traditional paper instruments. However, the historian must also give shape to the treatment applied to the information, which the automatic system could achieve on a large scale. Finally, even if it is obvious the historian has to develop good practices regarding information technology if she wants to draw the best result, the more representation of books in a digital form is reduced expression of the computer's capacity. This mere representation makes impossible to highlight the essential complementarities of digital and paper tool. As Lagama, Righi and Romani say, a computer is not just a toy for performing monkeys, it is a tool, it is to help us work and think. When the historian expresses in an article, for instance, the result for his research, he presents the new knowledge that he or she has possessed. This new knowledge is usually represented in a paper publication, put into black and white, traditionally shaped by the medium itself, and put in this form through methods and needs that the discipline has slowly established and refined. The digital representation for this knowledge is different in some points from the paper representation, and for this reason it calls for the development of methods and disciplinary requirements that suit to digital representation. The main differences that characterize the digital representation of an inscription can be grouped into four sections. The amount of data a computer system can contain, significantly more data than a book can contain or a human being can remember. Primordial role of structuring data so thin links, for example, associations and references in the paper are less numerous, less diversified, and are limited by the date of edition of the paper publication. Ben Strabrer and Don Wright, creating structure and linking the structured text to semantic models, authors' lists of person places, are essential for historical data processing. However, it is desirable to automate this process to a large extent. Data processing is the third point. A paper tool cannot apply a process to its content. Updating the data becomes possible to correct the errors and increase the amount of data with completeness of type of document as an ideal. If some of these features are not relatively well accepted and integrated as the databases of inscriptions are showing it, the treatment and the care to the structure of the data in particular seems less developed. The search capabilities within such collections of documents are in most cases strings of characters. For example, the search for the word panza, that could be a name or a word in an inscription, will return some results that contain all variations of the word and the name of the person without distinguishing one panza from another person who is called also panza. Constituting a corpus of inscriptions, comprehensive or selective, of homogeneous or heterogeneous sources, with the aim to catalog or to make a demonstration, is neither a natural nor a trivial act, either on paper or in digital form put on the internet. These corpora, well conceptualized, designed and modeled from historical knowledge, can be represented with an information systems thanks to information technology. With the advantages and limitations described above, my four points, these are complementary to paper tools. It is simply less discursive than traditional publication. So Francesca Tomasi explains, the problem is how to represent present information in a form that allows an adequate and functional process. In fact, the historian could put part of its assumptions, those that can be represented and processed within a computer system, to enrich the digital body and to explore and validate or invalidate its assumptions. Part of his conclusions, or her conclusions, though that can be represented and processed with an information system, could be integrated to more general corpora, the one that I cited at the beginning. As Francesca Tomasi says, when you want to create collections in electronic form and then put in relations among them several documents, then you must think about how to enable these relationships. And I want to make relationships between inscriptions. For example, you could link between them all ancient documents that have this person in common. Gaius Vibius Pansa Caetronianus, who was a colleague of Aulus Hirtius for the consulate of 43 before Christ. And not all the Pansa of the classical world, or the strings of character P-A-N-S-A. This example is very simple. It could be more complex and abstract, because this man was also a consul, and in Roman antiquity, consuls were used to represent time and date. To identify in an information system these historical features, we need what I choose to call historical encoding. The encoding allows us to distinguish meanings in strings of characters that contain identical or similar characters. The encoding allows us for the differentiation of persons, but also in the case of consuls, dates, and functions, encoding allows to differentiate the persons who shared the same function, the consulate, and could create confusion because of the similarity of their name in ancient texts. In French, we say, il y a plus d'un âme qui s'appelle Martin, to say that several people could have the same name. To some extent, codification is interpretation. As it removes ambiguities, makes explicit what is implicit, associates what may be similar or correlated as synonym in a semantic field, for example. An example of making explicit what is implicit in an inscription could be the case of Lepidus. Augustus refuses to name him in the chapter 10 of the Res Gestae Divi Augusti because of they were enemies. So we got here the expressions where that refers to Lepidus without naming it him. Pontifex Maximus Nefierem in Vivi con Legae Locum. However, historians have established a long time ago with this colleague that Augustus mentions without naming him. How could a computer could find this passage about Lepidus if it is not explicitly identified in the system through encoding? To this scope, we can use meta-languages from the SGML family, standard generalized markup language, but above all, its subset XML, extensible markup language. It enables one to add metadata in the form of markup in epigraphic document. The TEI text encoding initiative based on XML is initially designed to encode the text of literature. However, the inscriptions are not limited to that text. The project EpiDoc represents, I take the definition from the website, there is the bibliography at the end. EpiDoc represents a growing global collaboration of humanists and information technologists whose goal aim in the creation of flexible but rigorous standards and tools for the digital encoding and interchange of scholarly and educational edition of ancient texts, especially those preserved on stone, metal, and other durable materials, as well as on papyrus. Part of the EpiDoc project is to establish guidelines, the use of the markup, for applying the language TEI to the encoding of inscription and papyri. This dedicated language part of the TEI is proving to be more appropriate to the specificity of epigraphic text, as, for example, archaeological data and non-verbal information. These features may be partially represented in an information system. At this point, Bonstra, Breureux, and Dorm write, the core of the question seems to be how can we create structure in historical material in a way that is appropriate to the source complexity. The TEI encoding in their current state, the TEI and EPIDOC in their current state of development allow especially to encode linguistic, philological, and epigraphic features. It would be desirable to interpret and encode a number of historical data in order to apply a process on them and to link inscriptions in databases. A historical encoding represents digitally a network of primary documents linked together by historical information. Nicole Dufourneau and Jean-Daniel Fequeteux emphasize this transformation with the use of encoding. One of the essential profits is the passage from the mode production of document, like a thesis, an article, a monograph, a corpus, to the mode process of production of knowledge. Specifically, the information system, well designed and well used, is able to suggest from a single entry other entries to which it can somehow be connected throughout historical information. Techniques used are relevant to the field of information retrieval, like algorithms, research, appliances, and calculations of probability. These techniques work better if these documents are well designed and modeled. To conceptualize and shape the historical information in epigraphic documents is the duty of the specialist of the discipline, the epigraphers. The tool can also provide ways to facilitate reading, the visual representation, the direct links to document identified, even if addressed on different servers or heterogeneous systems on the web. These suggestions made by the computer must always be submitted to evaluation and critical mind of the researcher. It brings out the question of the formalization of scientific discourse, whose exploration started for humanities to the Hastings and was supplied by authors such as Mario Borillo, Jean-Claude Gardin, and Tito Orlandi, who dedicated part of their writing to the formalization of historical and archaeological discourse. This is a bibliography, so if you want to find the citation. And thank you very much. I apologize for my English. I hope that it was bearable.